630 CHED Afternoons with Jalen Nye. Weekdays at 2 on 630 CHED.
Well, I don't have to tell you that the oil and gas industry has taken a real kick in over the past number of years, a global price war, and then the pandemic. So many things lining up just to make things incredibly, incredibly difficult. And of course, the pandemic then had everyone wondering what might come next. But what is happening are signs of a rebound. And to find out more, I'm pleased to welcome the CEO of the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers, Tim McMillan. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for joining me this afternoon. I know you just wrapped up an annual conference earlier this week. Did it end on a more optimistic note than the last few?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it started and ended on a fairly positive note. I think a lot of cautious optimism, but we seem to be going in the right direction.
So when we talk about cautious optimism, what is giving you that right now?
Well, I guess the caution is pretty obvious. We're still in the middle of the health crisis, and no one is certain of what's coming around the corner. But on the optimism side, we have seen global demand that was crushed a year ago bounce back to about 96% of record levels on the oil side, and very close to record levels on natural gas. Price has rebounded to higher than the pre-COVID levels, and the Canadian producers are actually at near or above record levels on production of oil, and we've got some pipelines and LNG facilities under construction. We've had some tough years, but maybe we've turned the corner.
Well, and I know there's so many people listening right now, Tim, that are hoping the exact same thing. I mean, when I hear you talk about those things, the numbers coming back, I get a sense of excitement hearing that, but I'm guessing you might be telling me to pump my brakes a little bit when it comes to excitement and maybe just stick to the optimism.
You know, I think our industry is one that is full of entrepreneurs and optimists, that it takes a few signals and people are trying to get to work. And I think that that's one of our strengths. But what we're seeing right now is that investors, bankers, the business people that are leading these companies, they're taking a pragmatic approach. We see drilling programs that are strong, but they're not getting ahead of themselves. You hear a lot of that prudence language, but in the context of we think that brighter days are ahead and that the oil and gas industry globally's brighter days are yet to come.
And Tim, you know, I know there's so many folks that are waiting for a return, or maybe are hoping for a return of the way things were, I don't even know how many years ago, let's say 7 years ago, 8 years ago, right? What do you tell them?
To put some numbers around it, in 2014 in Canada, we as an oil and gas industry were investing over $80 billion. Yeah. That has fallen almost every year since then. And last year, 2020, we only invested $25 billion. Yeah. So should we be getting back to $80 billion? Well, I can tell you that global demand has been increasing and is expected to get to record levels in 2023 and continue to grow out really to the end of most forecasts. So the opportunity for Canada to get back there is real. I think it really comes down to public policy, infrastructure, and being able to attract the investment here instead of Brazil or the Middle East or Russia. So, you know, we're not going to be there this year or next year, but in the next decade, with willing federal and provincial governments that are doing that heavy lifting, we can get there.
Okay, so you touched on that, and that was going to be my next question. So, I mean, if we can attract it and get that investment here, not going elsewhere, what needs to be done at a provincial level? What needs to be done at a federal level to turn that around, to get it back happening here?
So maybe I will start federally. Some of the major challenges have been on infrastructure. We saw the federal government cancel a major pipeline, the Northern Gateway. We saw Energy East get drugged down until it was canceled. 5 years ago, we had 16 liquefied natural gas plants working through the regulatory process, only one has been successful. And then we passed Bill C-69 that seems to be an even bigger anchor. So there are some structural challenges and I think some willingness from the federal government that needs to be addressed. We're in a different world now, and I hope that they are willing to take a second look at some of these. On the provincial side, I think it's been quite encouraging that certainly through this past year, the Alberta government has been very proactive with red tape, with finding a way to operate safely within the regulatory environment. And that has been very helpful to allow our industry to maintain itself through the toughest times and position ourselves to look forward. So, you know, more work to be done on both fronts, but that market access piece is something we cannot shy away from.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, Tim, Canada continues to work towards these greenhouse gas emission targets, and we've heard Ottawa, you know, setting a goal of net zero emissions by 2050. There was a report out earlier this week by the TD Bank suggesting that up to, what, three quarters of those working in oil and gas could lose their jobs over the next three decades as Canada works towards doing that. I mean, those numbers, when you hear that, is that, good grief, worst case scenario? Or are those, you know, the worst numbers that they're putting out there? Where do you stand when you hear stuff like that?
You know, I guess when we look at global demand increasing out for the next two decades and beyond, we can see the opportunity. But we also can look at reports like this and say, you know, but Canada can take a very different path. Mm-hmm. We can let that global investment in oil and gas go to jurisdictions that don't have stringent environmental regulations and greenhouse gas emission targets and reduction policies. And just be blind to it at the same time, losing two-thirds of the jobs in the most important industry in the country. Or we can take the position that the next barrel of oil in that global demand story should be coming from Canada because of the way we produce, and that we should be increasing our 500,000 employees that rely on this industry to 800,000. That's the type of worldview that I think actually gets the environmental outcomes we're looking for and allows Canada to be the leader.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about the federal government. I wanted to cycle back around to that for a second, Tim, and it's Tim McMillan, the president and CEO of the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers, and you talk about C-69, we talk about the regulatory process and the 16 LNG plants, only one getting the approval. How much of a challenge do you feel like you're pounding your head against the wall when you're talking to Ottawa? Is anyone listening to you?
You know, we have had some major challenges in the last few years. But coming out of 2020, we have struggled in the last few months to compete with the global vaccine capacity. In the next few months and the next few years, we will be struggling with a scarce capital for investment. And, you know, we continue to work with the federal government to articulate how if Canada will start to address some of our deficit problems, some of the jobs that we've lost, our economy is on its knees, oil and gas has the biggest capacity in Canada to create jobs and to drive investment. So my hope is that in this budget, we're going to see in a couple of weeks that they take some very clear signals that they want to see the jobs and investment coming back to Canada coming out of this crisis. So I think if we aren't rethinking now, we are going to be challenged in the future.
Well, you know what, Tim, I'm going to put you on the list for budget day, and I'm going to have another conversation with you and find out your reaction to what you heard in there. You talk about those jobs. There was a lot of presentations at the conference earlier this week from the major players. We know so many people have lost their jobs. Is the focus for these major players right now, is it still trying to cut costs, or will, you know, and not that they want to cut jobs, but they have to cut costs. So that's, you know, part and parcel of it all, Tim. Is there that opportunity? Is there something on the horizon where we could see some of those jobs coming back?
You know, I certainly think that that is a possibility. And over the last few years, Canada has lost a pile of investment. but other countries have been gaining it. Canada was realized that we are a very high-cost jurisdiction, that the cost to get our products to market in many cases price us out of the investment game. So, you know, if we can address the bigger challenges around market access and some of the costs unique to Canada, we most certainly can be positioning for that growth scenario.
Before I let you go, and I sure do appreciate you taking the time on a Friday afternoon, when it comes to the switch in administration in the U.S., the Biden administration, we know their commitment as well to greening things and certainly scrapping Keystone. What is the biggest challenge on that front right now?
You know, actually, our opening speaker at the Scotiabank CAP conference was our counterpart from the United States talking about the new administration and some of those early actions. Obviously, the cancellation of Keystone was a big kick to the Canadian energy sector and to Canada as a whole. Some of the other actions was they put a moratorium on leasing about a third of the available oil and gas properties in the U.S. That has sent a real shock through the investment community about political risk in the U.S. And over the last few years, where Canada has had Bill C-69 and some of the other regulatory issues, the U.S. has been attracting that capital from Canada. Today, I think investors have to do a calculation. What has changed in the U.S. and how does Canada balance up against that? So it may actually be a leveling effect that benefits Canada in some ways.
Before I let you go, I know this pandemic has forced many businesses, companies, industry to, and I'm going to use a word that's been used a lot over the past 14 months, Tim, and please forgive me, but, you know, to pivot, to look at doing things differently. And sometimes, you know, some great things can come out of that when you have to pivot and you have to make change. Is there anything that jumps out at you, you know, as far as companies in this province that have pivoted and are doing well and are seeing success and maybe doing things differently better?
You know, I think that the oil and gas industry in Canada got thrown into crisis in 2014, and we have really been struggling from one issue to another since then, and that has been reflected in the loss of investment that's been coming to Canada. This year may be the first year where we actually start increasing investment again, but specific to your question, I heard something. It's not a big issue. You know, I could talk about the investments in technology and innovation that are actually revolutionizing our industry. But one of the unique stories I heard this morning is a company is using their methane on oil wells that they traditionally may have vented into the atmosphere to run a machine that is mining for bitcoins. And they've got several of them out in the field, and it's a way to use an off gas that is otherwise just a byproduct to create something very unique.
Innovation, I love it, and I love it about this province and this country. Tim McMillan, I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. I look forward to having a conversation with you again in the future. Thanks for this.
Thanks, Jalen.
Yeah, take care. Tim McMillan, the president and CEO of the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.